what fictional character would you most like to spend Christmas with? For me, I have to go to the TV show Glee. I would love to tinsel my tree with Sue Sylvester.
I know you think I'm heartless, Will, and you may have a point. I spend large segments of each day picturing you choking on food. And I recently contacted an exotic animal dealer because I had a very satisfying dream that the two of us went to a zoo and I shoved your face into one of those pink inflamed monkey butts.
That is good company. Better yet, what if you could sing Christmas carols with Sue Sylvester and Meredith from The Office?
Meredith, your boob is out.
Fine.
No.
Too far.
Damn it, Meredith.
Casual day.
Okay, sadly, Sue and Meredith don't exist, but the actors, Jane Lynch and Kate Flannery, are here right now. They're singing two shows tonight at the Triple Door. Jane and Kate, welcome to Seattle.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for playing that classy clip.
It really is classy. Yeah, yeah. You get to live with that.
I do. It's okay. I can live with it. I'm good.
You can handle it. Well, the show's called A Swingin' Little Christmas. Here's a flavor of that.
We're having a swingin' little party with all of our friends. We're hoping you dig the
sort of boogie woogie bugle meets ring a ding ding.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah.
That's very good. That Tim Davis, who sings with us, arranged that, baby.
That was your three part harmony.
Yeah,
Glee. He's arranged on Glee.
Yeah, he arranged everything you hear on Glee. He arranged all the vocals.
And he's exhausted now. There's so many songs on that show. Still working on. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it all Christmas music?
It's all
tonight?
Christmas music. It's from our album of the same name, Swingin' Little Christmas.
Available on Amazon and iTunes.
I'm
always plugging them.
Indeed. And also, we're going to be signing albums after the show if you want to stop by and throw $20 our way or whatever you got. It doesn't matter. We're giving them out too.
Even if they don't want an album, just give money to Jane Lynch.
Just give me $20. Yes, yes. Please.
You know, if you had asked me to guess how the two of you met, I would have probably said, probably doing small theater in Chicago, like a live stage version of the Brady Bunch, where Jane Lynch plays Carol Brady.
Right?
That's exactly how we met.
No, that's impossible.
That's crazy.
But you played Alice in my imaginings, and that's how it happened?
Oh my, that's actually how it happened,
that's
Bill.
That's crazy.
Do you remember how you met?
Very first time I ever went to Second City, Jane was understudying for Bonnie Hunt.
It was the day Bonnie Hunt got married,
so she came back.
Bonnie Hunt from One Day at a Time.
No, that's Bonnie Franklin.
Sorry,
Bonnie Hunt was in
The Bonnie Hunt Show.
Yeah, but she played Robin Williams' wife in Jumanji. She's been in a million movies.
Yeah,
she's been in a million television
shows.
Jerry Maguire.
She's a really great sketch artist, and I was her understudy.
But how did that turn into harmonizing?
Good question.
Fate. I don't know. Fate, just luck. I mean, I'm the luckiest.
I'm the luckiest. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Which is it? Which of you is luckier?
I think we're lucky together. I think maybe.
This has been such a fortuitous, wonderful journey. And, you know, and so many people who do TV, they couldn't be bothered with live audiences. I can't get it up.
We're having a great time.
Why do some TV people not want to deal with live audiences?
I don't know. We were brought up in the theater. We earned our stripes and where we met, you know, when we were in Chicago. We did the Brady Bunch together. We were also in the same circle of friends, so we were always doing sketch comedy stuff together. That's how we came to television, was via sketch comedy on stage.
Right.
Right.
I suppose live theater, people are... cell phones are going off, or you'd have to deal with the questions over and over. TV is a little safer for some people.
Yes, it's more controlled, and someone else is kind of editing. I mean, it's not, you know.
So what's wrong with you that you love to be in the messy?
We love that, the ephemeral. We like when things happen, and if they're not great, they just go away.
Yeah.
But the sad part of that is if it's really great, it still goes away.
It also goes away.
It also goes away. I love the immediacy of being on stage. I love that the audience is, you know, 50% of the experience.
Yeah, and they're like your GPS. If you're not going in the right place, they will let you know. Yes. You got to turn the car around,
right,
baby.
Exactly.
This is true. Are there any Christmas carols that you will not sing because they're so awful?
Maybe it's cold outside.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
Yeah, that's a bad one, too.
Funny you should mention Baby It's Cold. That is... almost unanimous on our Facebook page. That's the one people
don't ever hear again. Especially in this climate. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is NPR,
what's in this drink?
What's in this drink?
Indeed. Yeah. What's in this drink? Just in case you don't remember it, Shanoa wraps it up by saying, sorry, listening to someone relentlessly pressuring someone else into sex just doesn't boost my Christmas spirit. There was one defender, though. Lala says, it sounds like two people that really like each other, but the lady might be shy and worried about coming out of his house early in the morning.
Problem.
That's the Dean Martin version.
There's different versions. And times they are a-changing.
How did that song, why was that beloved by generations of men and women for...
Well, it does sound like a courting ritual. It's, you know, and...
Yeah.
I think they got so exhausted with the same 10 Christmas songs that they just started piling them on in the 50s and 60s. Just, that was just like a new one to shake it up.
Exactly.
But A Christmas Carol could be awful and still weirdly fun or campy to jazz up
the
way you guys can do it.
True.
So are you singing, is it kitschy? Are you singing bad Christmas songs?
No. Actually, our music is beautiful. We actually do a version of We Three Kings that is based on Dave Brubeck's Take Five. It's really interesting and fun and cool. But we have some comedy in it too. But
there's a lot of fun stuff that happens. But musically, it's just really gorgeous, if we do say so ourselves. Tony Guerrero, our band leader, is a wonderful composer and arranger.
And trumpet player. He's
and
amazing.
Trumpet player.
Are you with a quintet tonight?
Yeah, or with quintet, the Tony Guerrero quintet.
Bass, drum, piano, sax, trumpet.
Sax,
sometimes
trumpet.
Flute.
And sometimes flute. Uh-huh. And then sometimes we have two keyboards going.
Bongo drums. It's exhausting.
Yeah, bongos.
It's fantastic.
Indeed. Bongos, that we have a fun thing.
It's very early 60s, reminiscent of early 60s jazz.
Yeah, and it's everything is really orchestrated beautifully, and it sounds like a big band. In fact, our album, we used a big band on some of the tunes. We had a string section and a horn section, and it's full and lush.
Can you hear in A Christmas Carol something about the melody that, we could totally harmonize that to be a great ring-a-ding-ding song? Or can you hear A Christmas Carol and go, that song will be boring no matter what anybody ever does with
Kate Flannery arranged by herself a version of A Good King Wenceslas.
Mm-hmm.
That is the funniest thing and the most... It's kind of like what's...
Well, it's based on Louis Prima's Louis Black Prima's. Magic. It's an homage
bump,
to him.
Bump, yes. Bump, bump. Yeah, it's really great. It's got a great beat, and she incorporates O Come All Ye Faithful in it. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's really funny.
I actually am a little musical. I play the piano for the Elks initiation in Pasadena, but that's a long story.
Wow.
I can't talk about that
She's
anymore.
She's hiding your light under a bushel.
Yes, I know, right?
I asked because on our Facebook page, we got some people decrying the boring and the repetitive. Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas
can't
Time
stand
came
it.
Up. Listen to this then. Yes. You better take your headphones off.
The party's on.
But I'll sing with it.
The feeling's here.
Wow, wow, wow.
The
wow, wow, wow.
You picked up on that melody really quickly.
I can't help singing along. That's the hardest thing about being musical is that you'll end up with stuff in your head you don't like.
Yeah, that's like a...
And you just put that in my head.
Three
you know
horrible
what,
notes together.
It's Ooh. Not a bad... It's a catchy song, but it's not my favorite, and it's overplayed.
Won't be in the show tonight.
No.
That's at the Triple Door. This is Jane Lynch and Kate Flannery swinging Little Christmas this evening at the Triple Door. What about I guess, treacly. We got some on our Facebook page. Some people shouted out a song. And Nicole says, I'll probably get murdered in the street for this, but I hate the country tune Christmas Shoes. I get the message, and the message isn't bad, but it's so sad that's not what I want.
Me too. I agree.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a flavor.
Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve, and these shoes are just her size.
No.
It's like a Facebook share. We don't need to see everything.
They're not even really lyrics.
All.
You're right. They're like a share.
It's like, oh, please. Don't.
And they're just her size. I could have written those lyrics in my sleep.
Wait. Just a little bit more. It's going to get someplace special.
Oh, okay.
Listen to this.
Wanted to
no!
look beautiful.
The pain.
If mama meets Jesus.
Oh, no.
If mama meets Jesus.
Well, is mama going to die to meet Jesus?
I think that's what's happening. I don't know the song until just now, but I think
I don't like
it.
See, you could sing it at Christmas or a funeral.
Well,
it's a multi-purpose tune.
We do have a song, I have to say, in our set that introduced it as saying, you know, not all songs are about hope, light, and love, all Christmas songs. Some of them are sad. They're downright dark and violent.
And that's okay?
And that's
okay.
We got one about a train wreck and a coal mine on Christmas Eve that's pretty bloody.
Yeah, but is it tongue-in-cheek, or are you like, no,
well,
this
let's
is the
hope so.
Feel-
yes,
okay.
yes.
It's,
okay.
Yeah, it's written by the folks.
It's written by Christopher Guest.
Keenan,
Harry Shearer.
Yes, enjoyed you in Mighty Wind.
Thank you, and they sing it in Mighty. It's called Blood on the Coals, and we just added a Christmas element to it.
We're gilding the
Blood
lily
on the
there.
Christmas
That's
coals.
Our only, yeah.
Nice. What about, one last thing I want to share from Facebook, just and we'll talk about other things, but there was some gabbing about the song Do They Know It's Christmas. Brian is sure it's a god-awful 80s group sing garbage band-aid, Do They Know It's Christmas. Lelius loves the song. Flavor.
The party's on.
Oh, no!
That's
no,
not
that's
it.
Not, that's
no.
not it. But
that's
thanks like for
I,
playing the wah-wah.
It's like I rickrolled Jane Lynch there. I just pranked Kate and Jane. No, actually, it's this.
It's the world.
these
it's
poor
so
ladies.
Self-satisfying.
This is the thing about this song, that no women have a solo in that version, by the way. It's so 80s. None of the girls have a solo. Like, Bananarama gets to sing with maybe Madonna. It's no bueno.
And
sorry,
it's
guys.
It's also
we've
very
evolved.
Superior, self-satisfied, and kind of putting themselves up on some kind of
tonight,
pedestal.
Thank God.
For caring.
Here instead of you.
About these poor people.
Okay, to cap that off, obviously the greatest Christmas carol ever is O Holy Night.
I agree.
Wow.
Really?
I was going to say,
too, actually.
And I'm not Christian, but that song makes me cry all the time.
It's a great song.
When it goes to the fall on your knees.
Fall on your knees. And musically, the song makes you fall on your knees.
It does. It's beautifully modulated. And did you ever hear the Letterman sing it?
No.
The Letterman are from like the 60s there.
I know the Letterman.
It's like a four-part.
No relation to David.
No, none. No, and it's just, oh, it'll break your heart.
Yeah. Okay, so that's obvious. Yes. Holy Night. Worst is any
Well, I think the date rape.
But maybe it's cold. Okay. We're
actually
kicking that out. Also not in the show tonight at the Triple Door with Jane Lynch and Kate Flannery.
Sorry.
Swing a Little Christmas. You know, I got to ask, and we'll get back to Christmas, but since we're bringing up Baby It's Cold Outside and we have two actors in here, do you mind if I ask you what you think of the so many men in your industry being sexual harassers and abusers? Is that off limits for me to ask you about? Because I'm thinking about it.
No, I mean, I don't think it should happen in any profession. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that this is the first one that seems to be really changing the tide and that there are consequences so
far. What we were saying, too, is that, you know, as Americans, we're either in denial of something or we're absolutely out of our minds about it.
Yeah.
Like right now, there's this panic and...
So you think are you saying we've gone too far?
No, I don't think we've gone too far, but there is kind of this fevered frenzy
there
that's happening.
There's a knee-jerk, yeah.
So, you know, I think we have to remain reasonable, but we have to shed a light on it as well.
And it is case by case. Not all sexual misconduct is the same as a sexual predator.
It's all awful.
Yeah.
But being in Hollywood and TV in Hollywood, all that, is it as widespread as it seems? Is it worse?
I think it is. I think it's widespread. Yeah. Everybody has a story.
Yeah.
The hashtag Me Too is on fire.
It's true.
Yeah, everybody.
True. And you know, I used to wait tables in Beverly Hills and I would see it I would see the precursor. I'd see the warm up. I mean, it was everywhere.
You could watch it happen.
Yeah.
Well, on NBC, Savannah Guthrie sounded sad because Matt Lauer is a personal
friend.
Of course.
Do you have conflicted feelings about obnoxious Hollywood men?
No, there's no. I mean, it stinks that they're the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They've been the gatekeepers. We need to have, that just needs to change.
I think women need to be allowed to step up. And so, you know, my friend Jill Soloway, who created Transparent, said, you don't need to be asked to step up. Just step up and take your place at the table, like she did. You know, she always has. We've known her forever.
Yeah, she created the real Brady Bunch.
She's been
is that right?
Yeah, she's been doing that all of her life. She's been if she isn't invited to have a seat at the table, she takes one.
Was she involved in outing Jeffrey Tambor?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about. I'm sure it's breaking her heart because she loved him.
Finally, on that topic, both of you played women who seemed totally in control. I know it's comedy, but I wonder whether that reflects the real you. Not just about harassment, just both of you played a comic butt-kicking women. Was that because you're so good at it because you own that, or is that really outside of you're just acting?
Well, I think, you know, I got The Office when I was 40, and I think being having more experience really helped because I think I have had some people pleasing issues in my life and in my career, and it was just great to have something that was so well written. And I feel like part of my personality may have been part of the development of Meredith, because initially when I started the show, Meredith was not a drunk.
Oh, you added that yourself?
I didn't add it, but I think there was something like that we were building together, and you know, and just the whole sort of floozy ass. I don't know. Or just the absurdity. I think maybe just that anything they asked me to do physically, I would. I'm like, sure, I'll do it. And so I got to do a ton of physical comedy on that show. So many times there'd be a script where I would have maybe one word or one line, and it was fine. I mean, I got it. Luckily, I was smart enough and old enough to not to be counting lines through the script and going, oh, talk enough. You know, it's like actually having the trust that this is actually more powerful in some ways.
I did notice it was harder to find audio of Meredith than it was video. radio. Yeah.
Yeah, luckily we had 9 seasons, so we got a little more, but yeah.
Right. And I was telling you before we turned the microphones on that I know someone who was involved in a movie project that you were, and he told me totally separately, Kate Flannery was so fantastic and completely uninhibited. Something about someone in a kilt, I'm not sure exactly what happened.
That movie had a weird,
But you're you're committed to the bit.
She is show.
You are show.
I always
show.
Say Kate is of show, and that's why I love performing with her. She's always looking to take it to the nth degree.
Well,
she's fearless.
I've had a live comedy act for years, for the last 15 years, called The Lampshades. We're like a dying lounge act. So I'm so, and I do it at least once a month. So I'm so used to being on stage in front of an audience and kind of figuring out. And again, like I said, that kind of GPS thing where if you're dying, man, you got to fix it right there.
Yes.
People are not going to wait for you to figure it out.
Is,
right.
Yeah.
It is.
She is. She's in the moment.
Keeps
another
you
era.
Keeps
in
you
that
present,
way.
You know.
How about you? As Sue Sylvester, Jane Lynch.
Well, you know, I've always been fascinated with people who are cocksure of themselves. And I am not one of those people, but people assume that I am. I'm much more now. Like, I got the role when I was 50. I'm much more sure or just confident than I was when I was a kid. But I've always been fascinated with that. And I was able to bring to it, and so were the writers, and we were kind of on the same page with this, that nobody's that cocksure without protecting something. And we decided, like, I knew she was protecting some kind of a tender heart. And then they gave me a sister with Down syndrome, and I went, there it is.
Yeah.
That's the piece.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get that in Sue.
Yeah.
Jane Lynch and Kate Flannery here. I want to get back to your show, which is tonight, Triple Door. Two shows, 6:30 and 9:30, A Swingin' Little Christmas. First of all, just musically, you have another bit that you do, I heard, involving the songs that make us cry as children.
Right.
And your song was?
Mine was Puff the Magic Dragon.
And right. Jane, that song is so brutal.
Yeah.
To a child,
it is.
I went and tracked down this man who wrote the poem, wrote the lyrics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his name is Lenny Lipton. He lives in the hills. He lives above L.A., like Benedict Canyon or something. And I went and found him, and I said, how could you
do that?
I've heard
us.
You describe it. It wasn't just like, it wasn't just, it's not just sad. Eleanor Rigby is sad.
Right. No, this is Jackie Papers Came No More. And Puff, that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent and sour. Oh my God, I can't stand.
Green scales fell like rain.
Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane without his lifelong friend.
Puff could not be brave. And it was like, I felt as if violence was being, as a kid, I was like desperately.
It's so good though. And me too. It was such a good cry. It was such a cathartic, the depth of sadness that would come out of it.
That's what Lenny Lipton wants you to think.
Yeah. Because
he was sort of like, it's cathartic. It's a good cry.
Yeah,
you could talk to Jane Lynch.
Yeah,
she basically
said it almost felt good. I almost like would play it to feel good.
Right.
Sure.
Because I felt like, I didn't know this as a kid. You don't process it that intellectually. But it's almost as if your deepest existential fears come up and are released and you're better for it.
God. You said that better than Lenny Lipton.
That
is basically the same deal.
Oh, my God.
Facing your fear. Yeah.
Before I leave Lenny, here's the thing. There was another lyric. The poem kept going.
Ooh. Oh, really?
And another, of course, what does it say? Like kids, grown-ups, they don't last forever, you know.
But not so little boys.
Not so little. Right. Dragons live forever, but not so little
dragons
boys.
Dragons are like immortal. They live forever, and little boys grow up and go away.
Okay, so then what happens when one little boy grows up? Here comes another child. It's a little girl.
A
little girl, and she becomes Puff's best friend. And I said, "Are you kidding me?
Wow!
Why is that not in the song?"
Yeah, you got to put that in there.
But then you don't have the Jane Lynch catharsis. I guess you just like, tra la la, everything's
but
okay.
That's a great ending for that poem because it shows that things come and go, on the earth. And we were talking about this earlier that we're a sky and there's clouds and clouds come and go, friends come and go, but someone always comes in to take their place, and life goes on.
I thought it was. I thought that song was about drugs. I'm so confused. That's what I always heard.
He was telling me, and it's about marijuana. It's not about marijuana. And I said, Lenny, I'm not here to talk about marijuana. You brutalized. We're talking about my pain.
Yes,
why are we talking about me, Lenny Lipton?
It was brutal. It was a really aww, beautifully brutal poem.
But thank you for doing a bit. I know it's not tonight, but yeah, just the idea of singing songs that made us cry as children, I think, is a great idea.
Everybody has one.
Kate?
Yep.
She just said you have one.
Hers
was kind of the comic
My dad owned a bar in Philadelphia, and I said, this is a song I used to sing, that my mother used to sing to me waiting for my father to get home from the bar every night. And then I'd sing them.
Tura-lura.
Yeah, it was Tura-lura. Yeah, but then it would go into Roll Out the Barrel.
Rendition of Roll Out the Barrel.
You'd put a bow on it.
I did.
You're in the business.
You gave away the joke.
Do you remember Seasons in the Sun?
Oh, Terry Jack. Yeah, absolutely.
That one. He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother.
Remember that?
That one was just, that was like existential. That was like Eleanor Rigby said, existential.
Yeah, yes, yeah. And then we even do Ben, the song about the rats.
Michael Jackson's about the song about a rat.
Ooh,
my lifelong
some
friend.
Dark stuff.
It's all there. Just not tonight. It's a Christmas show. Triple door.
Oh, you're going to be laughing. And
you're going to be laughing. I know I'm not making it sound like it. So let's end on something Christmas. Real tree or fake tree?
I have a fake tree this year.
Bless
tinsel.
You. You and I have agreed on Puff the Magic Dragon. And what was the other thing?
I forget what we were talking about.
And
sexual harassment.
We're both against it. We're against it.
Man, can I come in this? Four-part harmony. So fake tree. How is that possible?
It's fantastic. Did you see? It's retro. Did you see the cover of our album? I bought the exact same tree that we bought for that photo shoot.
It's in your home.
Yeah, silver.
Mm-hmm. Kate's giving you side eye.
No. I always have a live wreath so I can smell the Christmas.
That's a good idea.
But then I also have a fake tree.
Uh-huh. Oh, do you?
Faking it. I do.
A fake green tree?
It's green.
Yeah, you should get a retro.
But it is
retro.
It is retro, but it's like a Charlie. It's like a, it's
Charlie
not quite
Brown.
Charlie.
It's twiggy.
A little, yeah.
A little twiggy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It has an attitude.
It's like twiggy.
It's like, I'm not full, but I got attitude.
But I know I'm okay.
Jane Lynch, Kate Flannery, singing tonight, two shows, Triple Door, 6:30 and 9:30, A Swingin' Little Christmas. From what I've heard, Kate will be inappropriate with the audience.
Oh, totally.
And it's going to be big fun.
Hold on, everybody. Yeah. Have a drink. It'll make
things better. It's been a great pleasure. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much, Bill. Really, thank you guys.